Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and welcome to another episode of my Police Promotion and Leadership Podcast, giving you CPD on the go wherever you may be listening. This podcast is one that's important to your police leadership and promotion ambitions because it's some insights in relation to a report that you may well have missed. I will be putting the link to the report in the podcast notes, but this is the Police Foundation report recently, the Cumberland Lodge Policing Conference 2023 report. It's called Getting the Right Things Done. It's about delivering good policing in the 2020s, and it is authored by Ruth Halkin and Andy Higgins. As I say, it's dated December 2023, and it's the kind of report that if you're an aspiring promotion candidate, you may well have missed. So I quite liked it because the report looks at things like questions, what are the police being asked to deliver and by whom? Are the police delivering what the public want? New ways of managing performance beyond red, amber and green, and working out what works and how to use it. So as a report for you to read through and to think through, it's a very interesting one because it makes some observations, it delivers some insights. It doesn't come up with any recommendations as such, so there's no recommendations, but it is something that will help you in a wider sense to think through and to work through your own thoughts, whether that's evidencing a more strategic approach to policing or whether you're someone who's focused on getting promoted and appearing to be able to talk about what the background is, if you like, what the zeitgeist of policing is and some of the challenges and issues facing it. So I quite like the fact that it's just one of these report overviews that I do from time to time to support officers. I've done some previously. I've done a review of the strategic policing review, or rather I've done a video of it, and I've done a blog on it for you to hop over to policepromotion.blog and have a look. And it's just one of those overviews that I found interesting because some of the language in it is interesting. So little snapshots from it, you know, policing in the 2020s, if you're looking to deliver good policing, should start from a place of listening. So that was quite interesting. And whatever else the public wanted, it wants to be treated with empathy and respect. And lo and behold, empathy and respect now feature in the code of ethics. So courage, respect and empathy and public service have kind of moved across and become the new code of ethics. So it's an interesting report, the Cumberland Lodge Policing Conference. As I say, I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes. I hope you enjoy the podcast. And if you're someone who's got something interesting to say on policing, promotion and or leadership, just get in touch, arrange an interview. I'm happy to share my platform if you've got a story to tell, either by writing a guest blog, which you can be anonymous if you wish, or recording a verbal message to feature as a guest podcast. I'm always happy to share my platform to promote a diverse range of perspectives in policing, whilst also creating informative content for you. So I hope you enjoy the podcast. Thank you for your comments in relation to my previous podcast, which is called Guess the Competency. And that, without going into it too deeply, is around the developments, the postcode lottery around promotion processes where officers are being assessed against the competency and values framework, the CVF, but they're not being told what the competency is. So it's trying to work through that and think through that. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. This is about the Cumberland Lodge Policing Conference report. And for info in a moment, I'll be giving you a quick overview of the support that Rank Success offers aspiring cops and the benefits of becoming a podcast subscriber. And then we'll get straight into the episode and you can let me know your views in the Q&A on the podcast notes. At Rank Success, I'm committed to giving you the best police leadership development, levelling the playing field of promotion, whatever your budget and wherever you are. I invite you to explore my free blogs at policepromotion.blog and videos on my YouTube channel. There's topical police news, salary information, deep dives into diversity, CVF explainers, explanations of promotion assessments, and various aspects covering your police leadership and ongoing CPD. All this content will firstly help you become a better police leader and then secondly succeed in your promotion process. To go further, you might consider becoming a subscriber of my podcast. Not only will you be supporting the free content I create for others, but for just $4.99 a month, you'll also get extra subscriber-only episodes. You'll be the first to access all new episodes and have access to the best of my back catalogue, whilst also getting an exclusive 25% discount on my market-leading promotion materials. There's no commitment and you can cancel any time. Want to smash your promotion with tried and tested prep? If you've got an upcoming board or you just want to get ahead of the competition now, consider my structured, succinct and rank-specific toolkits. These help focus your effort on the right things, including examples of what good evidence looks like, explainers of the CVF, plus a myriad of other essential content to help you achieve your aspiration. Others have described these materials as a godsend, like gold dust, helping to tame the monsters in your mind, and have even stated there's nothing else like it. See countless more testimonials on my website from successful cops who took action and got in touch. There's e-guides, my professional recorded masterclass video, plus my in-depth CVF explainer video, or indeed special bundle offers on everything. Or come join me for an all-inclusive day on my next in-person promotion masterclass. All this and more is available from my main website at ranksuccess.co.uk, and the return on investment will come in your first month's salary increase alone. So that's an overview of what I can do for you, and without further ado, let's get into today's podcast. Hi, Steve Cooper, Rank Success, and welcome to another podcast. And today's podcast is in relation to a resource, or resources, that I sometimes refer officers to when they want to get up to spec, if you like, for a promotion board. One of the things that I encourage people to do, and one of the things that is expected in a way, is for you to be well informed, well briefed, as a promotion candidate. And so it's interesting to me when I do a hop, skip and a jump through the available information and look at, you know, environmental scanning and look at what kind of information sources there are for you. I found a particularly interesting report. It's there for you to go and get, and I'll put the link in the podcast notes so you can go straight to it. But in short, it's a Police Foundation report. It's the Cumberland Lodge Policing Conference report from 2023. The authors are Ruth Halkin and Andy Higgins, and it's called Getting the Right Things Done, Delivering Good Policing in the 2020s. And it's an interesting report because and I'm not going to go through it in any sequential or monitored way, if you like. I'm literally just going to do a bit of a hop, skip and a jump with what I found interesting, some of the language. But the reason I find that this report is helpful is because sometimes it's very difficult to, particularly as a promotion candidate, to look at what the issues are now and in the future from any kind of meaningful perspective. And so what this report does is it brings together a number of individuals, and there are quite a lot of conference speakers at this meeting and that contributed to this report. I'm not going to read them all out, they're in the report, but there's some notable names in there for you to have a look at. So what's been brought together is academics, police officers, practitioners, partners and representatives from non-profit organisations and the private sector. And this report sets out to capture the nuances of the debate that took place over a long weekend in relation to policing issues and some really important questions. And these questions are include, what are the police being asked to deliver and by whom? Are the police delivering what the public want? And beyond red, amber and green, new ways of managing performance and working out what works and how to use it. So those were the kind of general areas that were looked at and that were discussed with speakers, and a kind of pooling of brains, if you like, a bit of brainstorming, if you can use that to describe it, around those issues and themes. And you may not even know about this report. I mean, I enjoy looking at what the Police Foundation has to offer from time to time, and I encourage candidates to go along and look at the publications. I've previously done a summary report of the Strategic Policing Review, and I just picked up this one as one that might have gone under the radar. It's clearly something that's a collection of thoughts. But for someone who's looking to prepare, and you know, whether you're looking to prepare practically and inform yourself from constable to sergeant, or more strategically around you know, the inspecting ranks, it's a good report, and I would encourage you to go and have a look at it and to read through and pick out the parts that you find are interesting. So this took place in December, I think, or it's certainly published in December of 2023, so quite recent. And the chair of the Cumberland Lodge Police Steering Committee is former Chief Constable of Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary, Olivia Pinkney, CBE and QPM. And she has the foreword in the report around, and it starts with, amid the discord and contest of the first years of this decade, the need for better policing has emerged as a rare point of social consensus. But what does it mean to provide better policing, or to improve police productivity in the 2020s? So this report kind of looks to summarise and refine and distill the thinking and the contributions from speakers around some of those issues, and to share some of the key insights from the conference. So I found it interesting, and I hope you do too. So I'm just going to go through some of the bits that I've highlighted in my own way, and just to inform this podcast, and as part of your thinking, to support your thinking, and to respectfully provoke and challenge it around these issues, because you are the generation, if you're someone looking aspiring to promotion, you are part of the generation that will be looking at these issues, dealing with these issues, and the transformation of policing that comes from it, depending on the actions taken. So I'm just going to go through the report quite quickly. As I say, I'm just going to zoom in on some of the parts that I found were interesting language, and you can sit back and reflect on that if you want to go and read it or listen to this. But essentially the first part is, what are the police being asked to deliver and by whom? And some of the parts in there around, there have been longer running concerns around falling crime rates, detection rates, the evaporation of visible policing, and the police service's failure to adapt to the digital age. And policing's always been behind the curve of technology, arguably. And this has led to concerns and doubts around police efficacy, legitimacy, and social relevance. And there's an urgent need, the report says, observes, to improve, reform, and deliver more effective and legitimate policing, and that therefore permeates the operating context. But what does it mean to provide good or better policing, or to improve police productivity in the 2020s? So it asks some pretty powerful questions, and there are contributory thoughts as we go through this. There's a resonating call here for the police to go back to basics in the face of crisis. But then there's observations that, you know, there is no going back. There is a need to recognise that whilst the police should be excellent, they are too often wrong. And the idea of going back seems to evoke a mythical golden age, which was often highly problematic. So rose-tinted glasses and all that, not always the best case. There were problems then as well, and there are certainly some challenges going forward in the future. So that's what this is about, you know. What are the police being asked to deliver and by whom? And, you know, there's an observation there around, in the past, the police service responded to perverse incentives generated by target-driven performance, and that was particularly controversial. And there's also the observation that a back-to-basics narrative also risks overlooking the complexity of the modern police operating environment. So the term VUCA is often used, or maybe not so often used, but can be used to recognise it's a volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous world. And that complexity is recognised in this report, and that a large proportion of incoming demand now relates to non-crime issues, such as, you know, people missing from home, MISPERS, mental health crisis and welfare concerns. And in this respect, crime fighting is revealed to be a, if you like, a one-dimensional account, is what the report says, of what society is asking the police to do. And with the transition to a digital society, and in the face of escalating demand linked to domestic abuse and hidden harm, traditional policing seems inadequate. So there's a section, I am hop-skipping through this because it's all interesting. It's really interesting for you to read as a background reading and to inform your thinking. And then there's a section on policing within a system and around talking around public dialogue. And it says that there's visceral anger at the lack of a police presence in towns and cities, and that's been replaced by a greater sense of peripheral suffering on the margins of society and of ambient harm resulting from a general lack of urban care. And all of this emphasises the importance of policing seeking to define and explain its role within a system of other agencies and individuals that work together to create better places and enable people to live safer and more satisfactory lives. So there's some really good observations there and thoughts and insights for you as a candidate to start looking at and say, hey, well, what do I think about this? You know, if you get asked those questions, how do you think policing can improve? What do you think that you can do to connect better with societies and communities, sorry, as a candidate? This is the kind of background report and reading that will help you with that and to sustain and support your thinking around it for meaningful responses. And if you allude to things like this, you know, I recently read the Cumberland report, you know, the Police Foundation report, and it got me thinking around some of what I will do and what I can do as a newly promoted sergeant or inspector. And what that does is just highlights the fact that you are well read, you do follow these kind of developments. There's a hell of a lot of experience and insight in this report to support your thinking, as I alluded to earlier. And, you know, I found it quite interesting to go through the highlight pen, just pick out the parts that I think are good points, certainly for me to do a deeper dive on. So the right care, right person approach is mentioned in here, but it also alludes to the narrowing police mission indicated by these developments is not always necessarily aligned with the demand reduction and a preventative focus or with building community relationships. The conference has heard, for instance, about benefits arising from deploying police community support officers to work with looked after children. So it observes that divergence from so-called core tasks and complexity remain as policing seeks to understand and articulate its mission in a rapidly changing society. But there is greater consensus on the need for the service to retune its ears to those sections of the public who need it most and who are most impacted by its actions and decisions. And the report also says that crisis provides a poor context for building relationships, and communities, including those whose faith in the police was once assured, are maintaining a greater distance and an unravelling vortex of withheld cooperation and suboptimal outcomes loom undeniably close. So make of that what you will. It sounds very daunting, but certainly gets you to think as a proactive candidate, if you like, being verbally proactive and proactive in thought around these issues, because you can almost link these to potential promotion board questions or briefings or presentations. And why not? Because they actually get you to share your thoughts, to get you get to share your thinking and to share your innovation around what you think you can contribute as a newly promoted leader or as someone who wants to make a career and progress your career within policing, and certainly within a partnership context, because there's a lot of people have contributed to this. So it says here also that some speakers expressed concerns that policing has too often turned its attention inward and being too concerned with reputation and listen too exclusively to voices of power, while crime victims, minority groups and frontline staff have been ignored. For all its complexity and irresolute mission, the conference heard time and again that good policing in the 2020s must begin from a place of listening. So pretty straightforward language there, and you know, that concept of policing in the 2020s must begin from a place of listening. The next part of it really is, are the police delivering what the public want? Well, that's a good question as well, and there's some good questions here that are posed, and they've not always got all the answers, but there are some really good insights and suggestions and thoughtful direction around this. And again, on that theme of listening, the report says, to know if policing is delivering what the public want, it needs to be sure that it is asking the right questions. And most importantly, really listening to the answers. And moreover, the police service also needs to ensure that it's engaging with and listening to all sections of society, rather than making assumptions about people's needs or expectations based on location, age or colour of skin. So it's quite a big question, are the police delivering what the public want? There is a growing realisation, at least among some in the service, in the police service, that policing needs to be done with the public as equals rather than to them. And confidence will only improve, it was argued at the conference, if the police can show the communities they have failed over decades, that they can serve without favouritism and bias, and when police officers recognise that serving the public is a privilege. So some pretty basic stuff in there, but I think the thinking about communities that policing has failed is some time well spent for you as a promotion candidate, thinking, who are those communities? Where are they in your force? And what do you think about that? And what do you think your force can do, or what do you think wider policing can do in a partnership approach to start to A, listen, and B, move forward in a meaningful way? And yes, you can't do all that on your own, but you are part of the solution. The problem is painted quite clearly in this report. The questions are quite challenging, but you will be part of the solution, whatever that looks like. So what do the public think about the police and what do they want? And it says here, and I'm going to just summarise it really, because there's a long paragraph or some paragraphs afterwards. But so what do the public think about the police and what do they want? And it says public views about the police are complex and nuanced. So, you know, simple statements about whether the public confidence or trust in police is going up or down are of limited value without considering further who is doing the trusting and whom they are trusting and what they are trusting them to do. So there's a talk here around the conference being powerfully reminded that there have always been communities who have not spoken positively about the police. Black and Asian people especially have for decades suffered unfairness, discrimination and violence from those who enforce the law, and the discrimination is so pervasive and entrenched that it permeates the language. Describing people, for example, as ethnic minorities, for example, could suggest that they are minor things and therefore matter less. And instead, the term racialized communities was put forward to show that discrimination is something happening to groups of citizens and not because of them. So that's quite an interesting concept to do some more reading about and thinking around. And the Race Action Plan is something that you might want to think about looking through as well, and including within your thinking and your approach. The term police service should be used more instead of police force, because the force thing suggests domination and protecting the interests of power, and service indicates it's there to protect and serve the public when you think about and talk about policing. The speakers expressed relief that the review, if you like, of the Baroness Casey review, expressed relief that more people were beginning to speak critically about the police, and that the police may finally be beginning to listen. So again, this theme of listening and starting from a position of listening and a place of listening is something for you as a promotion candidate to kind of think about and reflect upon and see where you will adopt that and where you can adopt that and how you can then include that in your approach, if you like, being proactive in your own interests going forward in a promotion selection process on an informed basis and using some of the thinking and contributions in this report to help support your own thinking. Are the police effective? Yeah, is another question that was asked. And the kind of observations there are, as well as recent controversy over police conduct and culture, it's clear that the deterioration of public support is also linked to a wider sense of falling service standards, decreased visibility, and a lack of engagement. It talks about polling from Ipsos shows that there's a link between perceived police visibility and public confidence, and such that the fewer police officers the public see, the more likely they are to report that the police are withdrawing from the places where they live and the issues that matter to them. And the perceived lack of visibility is linked to a growing sense that the police are unable to keep people safe, detect crimes, or bringing offenders to justice. Okay. For victims of crime, service satisfaction is linked to being treated respectfully and being listened to, and for instance, by being kept up to date with the progress of a crime investigation. So that's something that will be known to you, and certainly as a supervisor managing and supervising crime investigations, it's something that will be familiar to you. But this seemingly relatively simple task is something police systems often struggle with. And whilst in other sectors, technology allows people to know, for example, when their parcel will be delivered, getting updates from the police as a victim is often a source of frustration, resulting in numerous calls for updates or in them giving up on their case entirely. So from a victim's perspective, looking in from the outside and being a part of the system, there's a relatively simple task there that's identified, and a repeat issue that you probably identify and recognise around service standards and striving and aspiring to deliver the best service that you possibly can. And I think that's where, when you look at things like the Peel reports, where investigations are highlighted repeatedly for many forces around the need, the requirement to drive up standards of investigation, notwithstanding all the other issues and pressures around resourcing, it seems to be a constant theme. And of course, at the end of each of those investigations is a victim, potentially, and certainly that looks like an issue that you could do something about. And for a forward facing aspect, you know, what will you do about it? So from if you're on a promotion board, it's something you can think about and say, well, there's the problem, there's the issue, it's raised in Peel reports, it's raised in this Cumberland Conference report, it's raised in the Police Foundation observations and the research. It's the same old, what will I do about it? So just imagine yourself being asked on a promotion board. And you can see from these reports where some of the promotion board questions can come from. And that's why it's important to read widely, and why I refer and signpost and direct candidates to this kind. I can't, lead a horse to water and make them drink or make you read. But, you know, these podcasts, my digital toolkits, and, examples, detailed examples of what good evidence looks like and sounds like and feels like, and, connecting you with that, if you are an aspiring candidate, is what will help you convert your leadership aspirations, if you like, into substantive promotion success, is by, grabbing hold of this information, putting it through your thinking, a bit of brainstorming around it, and then connecting it to the competencies that you're going to be assessed against, and also being proactive with it in terms of, look, I've read this report, I've referred to this requirement, I've looked at our force's priorities, and I understand the community needs in our force area. And just being able to talk from a position of authority, informed perspectives, rather than you know, just thinking about it's a question I've got to answer on a promotion board. Because sometimes you may get asked as part of your board, as part of your selection process, to deliver a presentation or a briefing, and you may well be given some material, some scenario, and some characteristics from these kind of issues to convince and persuade and influence all leadership skills, a panel, that you are the right person to be promoted because these are the actions that you've thought through, that you recognise you can take and will take with your teams to try and drive up standards and provide the best service possible. Okay, so what do the public want? Well, surveys of public opinion show a perception gap between what the public think the police spend their time on, what the public think the police should spend their time on, and what the police actually do spend their time on. So there's some stats there around, you know, public expectations and, you know, what you can do, and some of the research and public consensus. So there's some information around that. And then in terms of towards a solution, which is the paragraph headed up towards a solution, to some extent, the drivers of public trust and confidence are beyond the influence of the police service. So when you're talking about drivers of public confidence, there are, you know, what are they is the first thing. Some of those are, you know, the effective investigation of crime, and alleviating antisocial behaviour in communities, telling the public what you of successes, communicating successes and achievements, and, you know, also delivering the very best service you can with the resources you're given. So from a leadership perspective, whether that's team leadership, department leadership, some of the drivers, understanding what some of the drivers of public confidence and trust are, is a good thing to think about and digest in order to be able to talk about it. And it says here in the report, there was a consensus that whatever else the public wanted, they wished to be treated by the police with empathy and respect. And this is something that the police should be able to do something about. And if you've looked at the new code of ethics, the new police code of ethics, you will note that, you know, that work has started, that observation has been converted or included or absorbed into a new police code of ethics. So in short, in a nutshell, and I've done a video on that and I've done a podcast on it, and a blog around the new police code of ethics. In summary, that's around courage, respect and empathy, and public service. So it has been embedded, if you like, in the new police code of ethics, and that's a start. And again, it's for you as a candidate making that connection. Look, this report, this Cumberland report, talks about empathy and respect. It looks at what the public want in terms of driving confidence, and they want to be treated with empathy and respect in delivering that public service. And because of all the challenges around that, around you delivering a service with resource challenges, with resourcing challenges, with workload challenges, you know, the conditions within policing at the moment, officer welfare, the loss of experience, you know, workload pressures, you know, budgets, recruitment, experience walking out the door, you know, younger officers, a greater body of younger officers, younger in service, all those issues and challenges, it's still about you delivering and having your teams deliver with empathy and respect. And again, that's linked very much to the code of ethics, which sits at the heart of the national decision model. So that's how you will do it, that's how you will make your decisions, and using that courage, if you like, to make those decisions in challenging circumstances, be that resourcing or be that circumstantial. So this is something the police should be able to do something about, is what the report observes. It was agreed that a lot could be done by fostering reflective practice and spending more time listening to those who trust the police the least. And, you know, listening for what many communities have been telling the police for many years. It is clear that policing needs to change, and to do so quickly if it has any hope of retaining public confidence. So, you know, tuning in your ears to that and reading that report, these themes are very much connected. And as a promotion candidate, it's very much around you getting your ducks in a row, if you like, being informed and being able to make the links and connections to these kind of issues. And that's very much where, you know, my digital toolkits come in handy for you, and you can hop on over to policepromotion.blog and have a look at the blog I've done on the new code of ethics and lots of other issues around preparing yourself for promotion. But these are the kind of links that you can make about, you know, your evidence, your examples, and where you think you can evidence this kind of stuff for the good of policing and the good of the police service. Okay, there's a section there, as I alluded to earlier on at the beginning when I was reading out the summary of the report. It's called Beyond Red, Amber and Green, New Ways of Managing Performance, The Lure of New Public Management. And there's a kind of hop, skip and a jump there through if this was really a simple mission to make a profit like a business, there would be some clear indicators and targets that could be set and measured. But policing's more complex than that. Policing doesn't build widgets. Its mission is far more complex and harder to define. And it also has a workforce exposed to trauma that tries to exercise its own judgment to make a positive difference. And moreover, it also talks around police governance is far more complex than in other sectors. So whilst it's not just about making a profit and having a simple mission like it would be in the private sector, there's some observations around how policing is governed, and each police force is answerable to a police and crime commissioner or a mayor. The Home Office also sets its expectations and requirements. There's HMIC, Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services, and the Independent Office for Police Conduct. They all monitor performance and conduct and regularly make recommendations. And with so many voices making demands for policing improvements and the external factors such as the role of Crown Prosecution Service in determining charges and conviction rates, often overlooked, the best course of action for senior police leaders is not always clear. So that's a solid recognition there as well. And then they start looking to the future and to what options, you know, can be considered around managing performance and what the right balance is. And so in this context, the police, it's recognised, are struggling to come up with effective ways of managing performance. And depending what reports you read and depending where you get your information from, some of it's doom and gloom. And this seems to be a slightly more positive way of recognising the issues, seeking contributions and thoughts around what the potential solutions can be. And the delegates at this conference agreed that the using private sector performance management tools to promote a greater focus on delivery had not been a success, historically speaking, and that the focusing on targets had been bad for policing and for the public, and had previously bred a culture that drove negative behaviours and distanced the police from the public. And a recognition that the pressure to deliver meant that instead of taking the time to make sense of what was going on, police middle management often turned to tactics with a low cost and certain impact, or began to game the system, producing dodgy data to avert the wrath of superiors, all leading to poor outcomes for the public. So there's that recognition of the past, and I've alluded to some of this in, you know, the report. I've done a blog on police performance, and I refer to some other sources and resources around this, including, you know, the return of CompStat, and I've discussed that, and you know, targets, and so there's that recognition there that has existed, the past. And then it talks about the conference heard that part of the problem with the current management was the lack of diversity, which not only meant that organisations missed out on talent, but made managers vulnerable to groupthink. You know, it says here that creating a diverse workforce can too easily be seen as another target-driven box-ticking exercise, meaning that while the organisation may look more diverse on paper, all those hired either think the same or are too afraid to say what they really think. And then there's some issues around the problems with data and the police use of data, how effective and efficient they are at using it to make meaning of it. Performance management, you know, gets locked in a plethora of reds and greens without the police understanding why the target was ever set at all. For example, in relation to male violence against women and girls, police recorded crime data is used to influence policy, but it's essentially unreliable, as a lack of trust means people are not coming forward to report. One speaker argued that in this case, the focus should be about turning data into insights about what it means to be a victim of domestic abuse and what the police can do about it and whether their strategies work. So gathering and analysing data is a science, but using it to decide what to do can be an art form. So there's a recognition there also that compounding the problem, austerity led to a loss of data analytic skills within policing, reducing any capacity to interpret data and to generate insights. There's an argument made that the police service urgently needs to improve its research capabilities and ensure that it has specialists who are enable it to be in control of its data rather than the other way around. It was suggested that policing could and should embrace robotics as a way of improving poor quality data, and tasks such as cleaning up duplications and errors in massive data sets had previously been dismissed as too hard, but one force with 98 years worth of dodgy data had managed to clear up 50 years worth of data in 3 months using machine learning. And that's an interesting perspective around the use of robotics, artificial intelligence, and looking at the meaningful and effective use of technology, and the collective resourcing and thinking around that to make policing as effective and efficient as it can be. And when you're looking at things like some of the big challenges around data and investigation, certainly when you've perhaps got thousands or sometimes millions of documents in fraud investigations, etc., how can policing be more efficient around that by working better together with technology, and for example on search terms and agreeing search terms on documents for you've got tens of thousands or millions of documents, it's almost a massive quest, if you like, and the reliability around it in terms of investigative practice and being methodical and systematic, there are barriers to that simply limited by technology, whereas the technology exists at the moment, it's probably likely to get better. So how can policing make the best use of that? And as a promotion candidate, what do you think about it? What are your thoughts around the digital strategy for policing nationally? And that describes and sets out a transformation of policing between 2020 and 2030. So as a aspiring first line, second line manager, what do you think about that? Have you read that report? Have you looked at things like the College of Policing's 2040 future report? Nobody knows what the future looks like, but there are some scenarios set out in it. And again, I refer people to that as candidates, because this is something that you will definitely be part of over the next 10 years, certainly that period that the digital strategy alludes to. And in terms of being more effective at scale across investigations, it isn't just you as a first and second line manager that can do this, but your force approach, policing's approach nationally is something that you will be part of. You will be part of a generation that I certainly wasn't, where these technological advances and the exponential nature of technological developments will benefit policing at some stage in the future. And there's an indication there that that force with 98 years worth of dodgy data had managed to clear up 50 years worth in 3 months. And that's something, I suppose, where using machine learning, and that's something where I think the efforts should be and probably could be for policing to tighten up in terms of what works and best practice, because that can't be allowed just to happen for one force. Certainly policing needs to extract the learning around that at individual, team and organisational level and see whether that can be deployed. So that's a quick, I digress on some of that there, but from a promotion candidate's perspective, this is a rich, interesting and resourceful and insightful document Even though it probably doesn't come to any firm conclusions at the end, it's more about highlighting the insights of the people attending, the nuances around it, and to shape and influence discussions around policing. But there are some good indicators in this, certainly for your thinking as an aspiring candidate. So what is to be done is the next question they ask. There was consensus that the police service need to leave behind existing cultures and behaviours and be given the freedom to find new ways of managing performance that embrace uncertainty and risk. It was agreed that the police should still learn a huge amount from private sector practices. And one speaker described how promoting inclusivity, encouraging diversity and changing cultures could benefit both the public and private sectors. The conference was told that policing needs to prepare itself for a long journey of discovery and self-exploration with an uncertain and changeable destination. So there is a suggestion there that kind of recognises the volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous current situation and probably heading into the future. And again, I've done some blogs on that, VUCA, and what the future might look like. So at policepromotion.blog. One attendee suggested that not having a fixed destination might be bad for morale in policing because the police workforce needs something to aim for. And there was similar disagreement apparent around system change and whether it was possible or even desirable for the system to change. But others argued in this paper that the system change was too difficult and that policy left people cold. And instead of attempting large-scale top-down behaviour change, which might take years or never happen at all, it was best to concentrate on what could be done on day one. So again, you know, if you were given a fresh slate, an absolute clean slate as a newly promoted leader, what would you want to do? What options and resources would you like available in a perfect world? And what would your thoughts and contributions be to that kind of making the environment for officers to work in terms of resources management of performance look like? So these are some of the discussions that took place. It also recognises that performance still needs to be managed, and relying on public funds, the police need to be able to measure what is important and demonstrate how what is being achieved aligns with their mission. And instead of damaging targets, one speaker suggested tolerances should be set, using the data and evidence to determine what good looks like and what is achievable. And performance outside of these bands, so to speak, should not lead to punishment, but rather an assessment of root causes. So, again, lots of food for thought there. I can't cover all of that. There's some really useful insights in there and one or two liners and the ideas and contributions of individual speakers there, different angles and perspectives of thought and different views for you to have a look at, make meaning of and to absorb or cast aside as you wish, but certainly a lot of food for thought. They do summarise the key insights from each of these sections, so that's very useful. And so I'm not going to go through everything. There's another section on applying behavioural insights, benefits and challenges, an evidence-based culture, and the fact that, you know, work needs to improve around that. Research and identifying what works. And then in its conclusions, this report, it doesn't seek to provide a definitive account of the proceedings and discussions of this report and the conference, the Cumberland Lodge Policing Conference, but instead the authors offer a nuanced reflection on the complex debates that took place. And it certainly looks like there was, you know, there was some complexity around those debates, and there's not lots of answers here, but there are some good aspects and chains of food for thought and for you to kind of pick up and run with as a promotion candidate, or certainly to explore your own thoughts on this issue, these issues, and together with other information resources that I can signpost you to and will signpost you to in these podcasts and via other blogs and videos. there is quite a lot here to get your head around, if you like. But it's certainly a really good pick up and put down report. Run through it with a highlighter pen. You'll probably get different things that jump out to you than jumped out to me, depending on your perspective within policing or the rank that you're going for. And finally, in this conclusions, they point out that this debate is not unique to the United Kingdom. Many police agencies across the developed world are facing exactly the same challenges of defining their role and securing public legitimacy and meeting the range of demands placed on them from countless quarters. It alludes to the United States, the fierce debate triggered by the murder of George Floyd in 2020, and it alludes to the almost irreconcilable gulf between those who feel the police exist to keep people safe and those who see them as a tool of oppression, and between those who feel the answer to society's ills is more policing, more arrests, and tougher sentences, and those who believe these can only be fixed if policing is defunded and the money used to reduce poverty and inequality. There are observations that policing already has access to many of the tools it needs to function effectively in the next decade and beyond. Legitimacy can be built by adopting approaches that prioritize listening to the public and the workforce and explaining decision-making more transparently and openly. And the problems facing policing are wicked, which means there is no single solution. And you can go and look more around that, because this is very much a description and recognition of the wicked problems facing policing. And I think there's a book by Keith Grint called Wicked Problems. And there's certainly a couple of articles I've read about that and the recognition of wicked problems facing policing. And it's complex, and much of it will take time and investment to address. But you're on the cusp. You're someone looking to step forward into this environment, into this age, if you like, of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity as a promotion candidate, and you're actively asking and seeking to be promoted into that. So, what do you think about it? What do you think the future might look like? And what contribution will you make as someone responsible for leading people and managing performance and leading change in policing? This is the kind of report that helps you at least come up with some thinking around that, should you be asked some questions. The abiding message from this conference and this report that it leaves you with, as the delegates left, was one of hope and optimism for the future. The event brought together an abundance of voices from policing, from government, from campaigning organisations, charities, academia, and the private sector. And it shows that the question of what is the right thing for the police to do and how they should go about it in the 21st century is not one for the police alone to answer, but it is everyone's business. And just coming back from, you know, from that final bit in the conclusion, it's your business as well. So, you know, I'm doing this and kind of summarizing this report for you in this podcast. I will put the link to it. I encourage you to go and read it. But very much going forward with this, use it, digest it, absorb it in your own time, go through it with a highlighter pen, and take what you want from it and use it to support your thinking. There's a lot of people that have contributed to it, and there's certainly some good food for thought there. But it's meaningful reflection, and reflection is important. It's one of the ways of you evidencing emotional awareness, which is one of the competencies in the CVF, the Competency and Values Framework, and very much around raising your self-awareness and insight. So having some insight into your own emotions and thinking around this and these aspects, together with an understanding of your own strengths and limitations. And having empathy and social awareness is important. And so this report can help contribute to that, and how you approach questions on a promotion selection board or a selection process, and your energy and vigour and drive and determination and enthusiasm around your preparation. And that's why I found this an interesting report. And I will be back with some more insights on perhaps other reports. I do like the Police Foundation. I encourage you to go and have a look at it and look at some of their publications. As I alluded to at the beginning of the report, there are lots and lots of interesting aspects for you to pick up on. And I'll be back with another podcast in due course. And until then, take care and stay safe. If you made it this far, thanks for listening, and I hope you found that helpful. Let me know your views in the podcast details and Q&A section, or by tweeting me, or Xing me, as it is, @rank_success. If you or a colleague have something interesting to contribute on policing, promotion and or leadership, by all means, please get in touch. I'm always happy to share my platform to promote a diverse range of perspectives in policing whilst creating informative content for you. If you like this podcast, please consider becoming a subscriber. Not only will you be helping to ensure I can continue creating free content for everyone, but for just $4.99 a month, you'll also get a load of great stuff on top. This no-hassle, cancel-anytime offer provides extra subscriber-only episodes, priority access to all new episodes, and access to the best of my back catalogue. Should you want to go further and hit the ground running, you'll also receive an exclusive 25% discount on my market-leading structured promotion materials to help focus your effort. If you want in-person support, check out my website for upcoming masterclass dates. I only do a few a year, but they're action-packed with targeted support. You'll leave with great clarity on your force promotion process and with all the tools you need for success. Attendees most often describe the day as inspiring, informative, and motivating. Others have said it cuts through the fear of fog, confusion, and nerves, and one went so far as to say, "It's the best money I ever spent on my own promotion development. Gave me the right frame of mind and motivation to succeed, second to none." So all the best in your career aspirations. You can see a suite of support on my website at ranksuccess.co.uk, plus my popular free blogs at policepromotion.blog. Until next time, take care and stay safe.